health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hey, health junkies, welcome Nick Gemmel on the podcast. He's a seasoned tradesman working hard as a welder up in BC. He's also the founder of the Dirty Hands Reconnect Project on Facebook and a super positive guy that I owe majorly for dealing with me and having to re-record this podcast. But I totally respect him a ton for his mission. It's a big one and we're going to talk about it all like in detail today. So Nick found himself at a low point in life in his career and it dove deeper in himself via the program that he went to in Thailand, came back on a mission to help other tradesmen and women who are struggling with work and life balance and just trying to connect with their family after being gone for such long periods of time. Nick, thank you so much for dealing with me and my literal shit show here.
It's all good. No, thanks for having me.
So, on your Facebook page, of course, I wanted to dive into this because I think the story behind what's up and what happened to you is so important. And I think we need to kind of share it a little bit more. So on your Facebook page, you say that it is dedicated to the men in the trenches of all trades, pipeline to commercial, who are struggling to be away from their families or have already been through a divorce or two. That's intense. Like a divorce or two? Like one's bad enough. So can you tell my audience a little bit about what it's like being on the line, you know, working in the middle of freaking nowhere and just being gone for such long periods of time? Tell us, like, how long have you been gone? Like, what's your record? And what happens on a daily basis when you're out in the field?
Well, yeah, varies for sure. I think that
give us some highlights.
Longest wasn't that long ago, and it was, yeah. So from August until February with 13 days off that I could have came home. So, yeah.
Wow.
So about seven, yeah, in 7 months, 13 days off. So
that's a lot of life.
Yeah, 3 days of Thanksgiving and then 10 days of Christmas was, yeah, that's probably, it's one of the longer ones for sure.
Oh my goodness. So like, yeah. You know, you've got two kiddos, right? Uh-huh. And you've been in this game how many years?
Since 2006.
Okay.
But started welding when I was in 1998. So when I started apprenticing. So,
wow.
Yeah, long time, 20 years, 21 years. Yeah.
So were you married the whole time that you started traveling, or did you go on your own before?
Married before, yeah. Okay. So 2002 got married.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. 2003. Yeah.
It's okay. I struggle to remember when I got married, and thank God my sister's birthday is the day before. My sister-in-law saves my butt every single time. So I'm like, oh yeah, my wedding anniversary is the next day.
Well, I try not to remember it too much now. So.
Fair enough. We'll get into that in a minute. So, you know, when you're gone, right, and it's long periods of time, it's like you've got a whole nother life. And when you come back home, now you've got to try to reinsert yourself back into a life that you've missed out on a lot. Like, can you describe to my folks, like, what happens, how that kind of plays out?
Yeah, like, when you're gone, you just have to worry about you. There's nothing else that's, you're not there. You can't help out at home at all, right? You can help on the phone or if there's a problem with a kid or something, but not to a very big extent, right? But, there's not much you can say. There's not much you can do. So, yeah, you just have to worry about you. And then when you come home, it's, you're just trying to fit into the family dynamic that changes while you're gone. If you're gone for 3-4 months, right? Kids get bigger, they have new friends, which means that the wife has new friends, and then you don't have, you're just there. You just try to fit in. So you do that over and over and over. Yeah, without saying anything. You're just trying to fit in, which isn't living, right?
Not at all. It's kind of like you're an outsider in your own life. Like, kind of like outside looking in and being like, all right, so I'm here, but not really sure.
No, just an ATM, basically, is what it feels like.
Man. And so when you are out, right, and you're out, do you interact with any other folks who are maybe staying at the same hotel or any of that? Does anyone ever interact or see each other or like at a bar or anything?
Yeah, some people do. I mean, they'll go out and and have beers or shoot some pool or do some stuff, but I was never that way. I just kind of kept to myself and back to the room, and at the odd time go out for sure, but for the most part, yeah, just at work, go back to the hotel room, drink a few beers and crash and do it all again the next day.
So
not expanding at all, right? Like just being again. So you're just being at work, and then you're coming home and you're just being at work or at home. So not very conducive to a good life, right? So.
Right. You're like you said, ATM, bringing home the paycheck, you know, kind of trying to further, you know, your family's mission. But what fun is that if you're not really part of what's happening? You're just kind of like the financial backer, if you will.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
What about buddies, like friends? I've seen that you like to lift. I've seen that gym was a big deal. I've seen a lot about your motorcycle, you know, interest. So did you also feel like an outsider to your friends or not to them, but in your mind, did you feel like an outsider trying to come back and hang out with them?
Yeah. Because I would never, if somebody's not there physically, then there's not a reason to reach out and talk. So I would just, you know, the odd time get a message, but the more that you don't respond to someone, I found, or, you know, or send a message, right, they just quit sending one back. So over time, right, so lots of good friends that I used to have when I was, you know, early 20s, right, and at home all the time before I started working away, so good friends that I had since I was little, and then they just go away. They don't want to be part of that because every time they ask, well, can you come to this barbecue, or can you come, you know, we need a spare for this curling bonspiel or whatever, or on the slow pitch tournament, right? And then you're like, no, I'm gone, and then they just quit asking. So, and then when I would get home, then I would just quit. I wouldn't reach out to see what they're doing because they're just trying to fit in at home. So no social life, and then over time just at home, just feeling like you're just fitting in. Yeah, it's just being again.
Yeah,
just comes back to that.
It sounds pretty. I mean, I like that you're saying like just being, because I think a lot of people don't realize the impact that this has on the folks who are out working. Because yeah, you know, a lot of people talk about, oh, being on the pipeline, I make a buttload of money. I mean, even in the movie, or not movie, it's a TV show, Heartland, you know. For those of you who are American listeners, Heartland is an amazing show, by the way. Great, great, wholesome show from Canada, filmed in where is it? It's like Alberta, right? It's like not too far outside of Calgary, like north or something. So anyway, they talk a lot about how these dudes are up and, you know, making money, you know, on the pipelines and things. And they make it sound so glamorous. Did you think about the job at first as being like so glamorous? Like, wow, I'm gonna travel, I'm gonna see new stuff, I'm gonna make some bank.
Oh yeah, no, that's what it is. But because you love the job that it is to begin with, like whether it's welding or whatever your deal is, you love it, and then you're going to get paid, you know, fat stacks to go do this stuff, which is awesome. And then you're traveling around, which, you know, is great too, but not looking at it for what it is, and just having to deal with all the other stuff that comes with it, right? Like the home life and the not being there for the kids and missing birthdays and all of that stuff, right? So you choose it because, and I'll still continue to do it because I love it, but you have to yeah, you have to look at the other side and see what it is. And if you just ignore it, like a lot of people do, and just, yeah, just hide, keep hiding that pain, keep hiding those feelings of being gone and missing everything. It's, you know, it's not bad to say, shit, like I'm sad because this happened, right? It did. You missed a birthday, you missed an anniversary or whatever. If it doesn't affect you, now, you know, now that I'm looking at it, it's good. It's there. Like, it happened. So deal with it. But if you just shove it into your big toe like I did, and just over the years, right, just keep shoving it down, shoving it down, shoving it down, and then you don't feel it, well, then it's no fun whatsoever. So
let's talk about that shoving it down business, because it is something that I think a lot of guys, you know, ladies do to a point, but I think guys are so much more, because it's not cool to talk to your buddies like, man, I'm isolated, I need a friend, you know, I'm reaching out here. You know, it's not cool to do that. And I think even for ladies, it's somewhat hard to do in certain situations. So when things got stuffed down to the point where you couldn't stuff them down anymore, what was the sequence of events, and how did that get you to reaching out to the folks in Thailand to get there? Like, how did that happen? Because I think a lot of people might be at the point where they're like, okay, I don't have any more toes to stuff into. So where do I go now?
Yeah, and I didn't even know, like, obviously, I didn't know that that was even happening. I just, like, we were in the process of moving to get out of this lifestyle. I would maybe pipeline in the winter because we were going to take over the in-laws par 3 golf course. So, which was great, and and it's a campground too, so it's super cool. But I wasn't comfortable being at home for a few days, let alone being there the entire golf season to look after this thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I freaked out and just isolated myself back where I'm from, where I own the bike shop. So just like slept, you know, it was cool. I just pretended that was my story. I was sleeping at a, but you know, who doesn't want to sleep in their garage? Like, as a dude, like, super, you know, we got some cool builds. We got lots of stuff going on. It's, yeah, that was my story. This is cool. Like, yeah, I have stuff to do here anyways. It is my other business, but I just used it to hide. And I didn't even know that's what I was doing. I was just justifying that we had shit to do at the shop. So totally not dealing with anything. So not dealing with, you know, being gone all those years and the effect that it had, which good or bad, but just not dealing it at all. And then not dealing with the move out to where we were going to take this golf course over. And then, yeah, not dealing with the feeling of, okay, now being at the bike shop and living there. Like, living on a mezzanine off a cot. Like,
every, I mean, my 83-year-old father, he always tells me, like, put a cot in the garage, TV, and a toilet. He's like, I'm good. That's all I need.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you're, if that's your thing, that's great. But when you're hiding from a whole family and your whole work and everything, that's not good.
No.
Right.
No. That doesn't end well. So how did Thailand come about? Because that was like what I gathered as like your point of like, oh, this is how I can reconnect to myself, and I can, you know, oh my gosh, I can get out of this. Like, not the job, but I can get out of my head in terms of isolating. So tell us a little bit about that. How'd that play out?
So isolating back at the shop, and then finally got told to leave the house officially with my wife, and I wanted to be separated and divorced. I didn't even know that. Like, I didn't even realize then. It was like, screw you. It's not me, it's you. And 8 months, you know, and then I went away for work again for those 7 months, almost 8 months. And then, came back home, and I still didn't realize. And it was only then, you know, I tried to get her to buy into couples counseling. She didn't show up, obviously. So after like almost the second session in, the therapist is like, let's just talk about you for a minute. Like, I don't think she's coming. I'm like, yeah, I don't think she's coming either. And fair enough. and hey, let's talk about me. So started talking about me, and then just realized that, yeah, even though like not on drugs or alcohol at the time, and but I was an addict. Like everything I do is addict behavior. So it's yeah, it was crazy. And it wasn't even her who came up with it, just in talking to the therapist, right? It just a light bulb went off in my head, and boom, I've used everything to get away from reality. I've gambled. Thank God that was only about 8 months, 7-8 months. I'm not a good poker player, and I'm not a mathematician, and yeah, that wasn't a good combo. And then like drinking on the road, like 6-8 beer a night or whatever, not all the time, but for a lot of the time, right? But in your own hotel room by yourself, probably not a, you know, by definition, yeah.
Isn't it drinking alone is one of the checklists there? Isolation, drinking alone,
exactly, right? And then I've used golf of all things to be to hide. Like I would go to the range in the morning, like inherently not bad, freaking golf, great. But when I wasn't working, to the range, to the putting green, and then golf in the afternoon, like it's a whole freaking day that you're gone. And it's, you know, you do that for, you know, a few months straight, like, yeah, just hiding. And then, I got into powerlifting, bodybuilding, which again, inherently not bad, but because of those, started taking steroids in the last couple years. And, just because of the sports that they were, but it wasn't about any substance. It was just about the behavior. Mm-hmm. And that's what we came to realize. So I was like, man, I just got to get away. Like, and, you know, and just more self-defeating thoughts. And, And then, finding out that she had a boyfriend at the time, too, around that same time, right? I mean, we're separated, so it's all good, but finding out I had a girlfriend too before that, right? So it's not a matter of that. It was just everything coming crashing down at the same time. I left that girlfriend, you know, went to counseling, found this out, and then found out about this boyfriend, like wanting to get back together, then found out about this guy, and then my head just wanted to explode. Like, are you literally, like, wasn't good. And then having those thoughts and just wanted to end it all. Yeah, we need to do something about this. Like, it's not, that's not what I want. So ended up, I went to find a place in Victoria. I booked into that and told my therapist about that. And she's like, sweet, that's, I support you in what you want to do, but I don't think that's where you need to go. It's more clinical and more, she's like, check this place out in Thailand. I've sent a couple people there already, and it's done great. More mindfulness, meditation. And I'm like, fuck, it's meditation. Like, are you kidding me?
Like, I've had enough solitude.
I was raised in a locker room. Like, and then on, you know, in the trades, like, yeah, meditation, screw that, right? But, and mindfulness, what? No, but looking into it, and it's like, no, that's what, you know, this is what happened. I just lost myself along the way. Let's try to, how can we do this? And the only way to do it is just give up everything that you think that you know and start over. Because, that little boy that you left a long time ago that had dreams and aspirations and all this other bullshit, that was so awesome. he left him a long time ago, and we need to find him. So ended up doing some research at this place in Thailand. It's called Hope Rehab, and got on a plane as soon as I could, booked it over there, and then just dove right into the program. Like, I'm really good at my OCD and everything else. Like, give me something to do, I'll do it. So just dove right into that work, and not having to detox or anything like that. They're like, seriously, like, they're just the counselors and everybody there. They're like, seriously, like, nobody has caught on Like, I'm explaining in the second week mindfulness to people that are in the program, right? Like, it's like crazy. 2 weeks before that, I knew nothing about it, nothing what it was. I didn't quite understand it, but just the way I could explain it, people were getting it. And they're like, this is nuts. Like, I'm like, yeah, just give me something to read. I will figure this out. But
that's cool.
If I had to try to do that on my own, no freaking way. Like, yeah. But being in a place where other people, like, seeing, like, my behaviors as someone that's not addicted to drugs or alcohol the way that these people were, and just being able to relate to them and see the train wreck and the way out.
Yeah. You know,
especially all the counselors there, they were all ex-addicts, and that's the best part. Right? So you see these people that went through the program, and they're living this life, and they're having a full life. One of the dudes there just travels around. Yeah, and it's pretty amazing to see one of the counselors. So, but being over there, still not being able to open up. So I'm going through all this process, and it's like anything else. I'm just lying to myself. Like, oh, yeah, sweet. I'm doing great, and blah, blah, blah. And then, which I was, because I was doing the program, but still not opening up. And finally, my counselor had me doing poetry. And so that was the first time then, and then just reading it out to him, breaking down like a little baby. So it was pretty nuts.
So you did poetry? That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you ever dabble in poetry before?
No. Like, I had to research it, and like, he's like, next session, make sure you bring me some poetry. Okay.
Were you any point like, oh my god, what was I thinking? I need to go home.
Oh yeah, like, I mean, I was there with like crack addicts, meth heads, lots of old ladies from the UK. It was just worked out that way. Lots of alcoholic ladies from the UK. Seems to be a lot of them there, and Australia. Lot of alcoholic ladies in Australia too, but
very interesting.
Yeah, but being there with these people that I would never relate with in real life. Like, I work with a lot of people that do drugs and stuff, but I don't see it, you know what I mean? And but to interact in the way that we were at this place, yeah, I mean, it was next level. Where you're listening to these stories that I can't comprehend to the level of, man, like, yeah, doing heroin in the back of a, the back alley somewhere, like, and just, being beaten and, physical abuse and sexual abuse and stuff, and the stories you would hear and people sharing, unbelievable. And that's where I learned a lot of how this works. Like, even though that never happened to me, but just listening and the way it makes me think of other things that it relates to in my life, not in that way, but just gets me thinking of how to, well, shit. If this person could change their way of thinking after that happening to them, me just losing my way, being gone, making money, being an ATM for years, I should be able to fix this brain and figure this out, right? And reframe, and it's all CBT, so all cognitive behavioral therapy is what the big part of what we did over there. And just reframe that story.
Nice.
So that went super awesome. Came back and then dove into found a buddy of mine in Victoria, Dr. Ryan Doyle, and he's a head coach of this Men of Iron group now, but I didn't know this was going on. I always skipped over his story. these people on your feed that you're jealous of and whatever, and you just see their face and you just flip over. Well, I lived with this dude 20 years ago. It was a train wreck. We drank, we did a bunch of stuff. Like, it was great. And I see him with his, perfect family and all this stuff. And even when I did have my family, I skipped over and not listened to him. And now I'm listening to, I actually stopped on his feed before I flew back from Thailand, and stopped on his feed and listened to what the hell he had to say. And it was like, man, I'm looking in a mirror of me. He's burning his life down, or did, with triathlons and drinking for about 5 years. 5-year span of, but just thinking that he's doing everything right, expanding his practice. He's a chiropractor, so expanding his practice, but the whole time he was hiding from his family by doing these triathlons, running at night, because that's how you have to train for these things, right? You're not just running through the day. So getting up at, you know, 2 a.m, running through the night, all this stuff. And his kids didn't know him, and I'm listening, you know, and we're interacting, and it's like, dude, this is me. But he's looking at me like, I thought you were good. I said, that's social media.
Yes.
Like, yeah, he's looking at my social media. I think he's good. I was looking at his 5 years ago thinking that he's good, but he's a complete fucking train wreck too at the time. And holy shit. And now listening to him, how he got out of it. And that's, you know, with daily habits and with reframing your story and all of this stuff. And I'm listening to this, man, we need to hook up. So he's like, no, I think you're ready. I think you're ready for what I'm selling. And all he's doing is just reframing his story. It's nothing crazy. And it was the same thing I was doing, but this is big game players doing big game things using this way of thinking and this way of life, right? So I was just like, me being gone, like we talked about, you're just being. So now this whole thing and being in rehab, okay, I figured a way to reframe my story, but now how do I put this together to actually produce? Because I'm a freaking you know, in my story, in my head, I'm an entrepreneur. I want to do big game shit. I want to make lots of money, but I want to have the family and I want to have the body that, you know, that impresses my idea of a good body is, whether it's strong or just looks good or whatever. And now I've added the part of being being spiritual, which never, if you were to bring that up at work or whatever, like, are you kidding me? And mom and dad were never, you know, and my family was not spiritual at all. And it's not a fact of going to church or believing in God. It's just a matter of believing in something that's freaking bigger than us.
Yes.
And I'm like, man, like, once you get over that hurdle of like, okay, I do not have to believe in God or something.
Anything.
But guess what? We're floating on a massive freaking rock and we're breathing. There is something bigger than us that has created all of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Whatever it is.
Where you live is one of the prime examples. So folks are listening to us. He's in Invermere, which is one of the most gorgeous places in the universe in British Columbia. You get to the top of what's it called? It's panorama. And it's like epic views. And you can't tell me we don't have something greater than us that created that. And I know a lot of people who are listening to this, you know, with the spiritual realm or something. I mean, nature is like, OMG, there's something there. But anyway, yes. That was my side digression in terms of there is something bigger for sure.
No, 100%. And just the spiritual side of just letting it go. So with daily meditations now, just letting it go and just sitting in your thoughts. Like, who the frick wants to sit? I didn't want to sit in this brain. I could barely sit for 30 seconds. And, yeah, but over in Thailand, we had to meditate for 20 minutes every day. It was mandatory. I'm like, no freaking way you're going to get me to sit for 20 minutes inside this head. But that the reps of doing it for 2 months constantly and just figuring shit out, like, okay, but all it is just creating space. Creating space in my head for other shit to do big game shit. Like, look at what the story actually is, and just sitting in your own thoughts, but realizing why it's there, because you don't control your thoughts. Shit just comes in and out and creates this hamster wheel going around and around, and everyone's figured that one before, right? Like, just where you can't let shit go. But now I'm able to let shit go and figure out why it's there in the first place.
That's cool.
Because what I found was, like, your thoughts, that's the problem, is you get caught up in these thoughts of the past And the past is never the past because it's your version of it. It's not even freaking reality. And you're worrying about it. And, you know, oh, I should have done this. I should have done this. Or this happened to me because of this. But it didn't even happen that way. It just was. And your reality isn't even what it is. And the future is never going to be what we think it's going to be. It might be a version of it, but it's never going to be exactly what you're worrying about. And as soon as you can get that in and just sit and just be present now, game changer.
I think that's awesome that you kind of went through the detail of you're like, no way, I'm not doing it. And then now you're like, okay, being present, you can do this. Now, say someone's listening to this and they're like, all right, Nick, you talk a lot of good talk, but, you know, I can't like even sit down and give space in my brain. All I got is that hamster wheel and negative thoughts and I'm getting mad and then I got to go get a drink or I got to go get a hit of something. What would you say to someone right now who is sitting there and going like, all right, well, I can see where you're coming from, but I have no idea where to start on the path to get myself back to me? What would you say?
The first thing, like meditation for sure. I would meditate every day and just sit there. And you're going to think it's the worst thing ever. I didn't do it right. I did whatever. But just start with 3 minutes and just sit there and just see what happens and just let it happen organically and don't fight it. And then just sit back and after it's done and just see what it was is the best way I can describe that. But as far as reframing your thoughts, yeah, just you have to see someone. You know, like in this group, Men of Iron, we have this process called the stack, and it's taking your story. We do one every freaking day, and it takes 30 to 40 minutes if you do a good one and just not a surface. And when I say good one, you start out with your story, with your trigger. So Janine pissed me off today. She told me here she was late on the call or whatever, right? Like that's the story.
Yeah.
This is the level that we do every day. What are the facts behind that? Okay, what are the feelings behind that? Is this story true? You're like, no, she just got busy, right? Like, okay, what is the me version? Oh, I bailed on Janine last week, you know. Oh, okay, is this true? Yeah, I bailed on Janine last week. That didn't happen, but if it did, this right. is the level we go to. And then what is the opposite version of that story? Well, I bailed on, or Janine did not bail on me, right? What is the desired version? Well, our schedule, I just want to get my story out to Janine. That's all I can control. That's the desired version. Doesn't matter if any of the other bullshit, what you had going on, what I had going on, right? It's just, this is the desired version. I want to get my story out.
Love it.
Done. Is this true? Yeah, 100%. What are the facts behind it? Yeah, if I don't get this story out, I don't have a chance to help other people.
Absolutely.
What did you learn from this? What is the revelation behind this? in planning, and in planning, we can make this happen. And how does this apply to our body, being, balance, and business? So our body being our body, our balance, or being our spiritual side and our fulfillment. And our balance, our relationships, and our business. You apply that lesson to all these four areas. So this is the work that we do in the Men of Iron that blows every other system away. Like you can have a health coach, you can have a business coach, but guess what? You're just focused on one of these areas and you're a one-dimensional prick, right? Like you see, I was that guy. I had a great body. I was strong as shit, right? But my business, I lied to myself in my business because I didn't go and take other courses when I had the chance. I didn't go and expand, you know, sitting in a hotel room after work for 3 hours, you know, or whatever, after work before I go to bed. You can do an online course pretty easy in 3 months. Mm-hmm. Like I could have got a doctorate in 22 years, right? Like seriously,
a couple
that's
of them
the reality, right? But that's the reality is you just lie to yourself and you spin these stories. Why I can't. Mm-hmm. And in doing this program, yeah, it's just amazing. Like, and just reframing those thoughts. And now big game shit is happening because of, you know, I've been living this lifestyle for six months now about. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's just daily deposits of hitting singles. It's just texting my kids every freaking day. It's sending, you know, if I got a new girl that I'm courting or whatever, sending daily messages every day. Learning something in my business every day and teaching it, whether I send it to a business partner or someone, social media, someone that wants to hear it, right? It's just daily deposits and daily singles. And then every day doing that CBT work of reframing stories, because there's a trigger every day. But some days there's nothing really there. Find something happy. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot have the light without the dark. Mm-hmm. So, which I'm finding. So if something really good's happening, yeah, I stacked it the other day of this new girl that I'm starting to see, right?
Nice.
But that wouldn't have happened if there wasn't the dark. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's finding the good in the pit, right? Because we all get in there. You get in there and you start fighting, you start clawing at the walls, and you're like, I can't get out. And once you have that thought in your head of I can't get out, yeah, you won't. Mm-hmm. So it's just reframing your shit.
Love it. Reframing your shit. We're gonna put the title of this one as "Reframe Your Shit" by Nick Gemmel. So you were saying something about clawing out of the pit, and you've got a podcast that we definitely want folks to know about. And in there, you were saying something about Tales from the Pit. Tell folks a little bit about your podcast, what's the mission, and what they can learn from your podcast.
So it's, Pipe Dream Podcast. We're on Anchor, iTunes, and Spotify. And it's just, I'm maybe one, maybe two steps out of the bottom of my pit still. And all I'm doing is just telling people what I'm doing to get out. Like, so how I found myself there to begin with, you know, before the divorce and before all of that, or separation and all of that stuff, and how I got out. And all it is just every week, just something on how I'm getting out of that pit and tying it to stories of being on the road for a lot of years. So it's just all things that happen to everybody that I'm finding now, and just the most random people just replying and just, man, I never thought of it like that. Or
Definitely putting some great content out, and I love what you're doing on Instagram. He's also on Instagram as Awakened Tradesman, correct? And you can buy t-shirts, folks. Because this is huge, because I think, you know, the best way to get stuff out, I mean, anyone who owns a gym and anyone who's in the fitness or like played in gyms know like how great it is to wear your gym t-shirt out and like rep for your gym. But Awakened Tradesman shirts are online. You can grab those. It's awakenedtradesman.com, correct? Or is that one through a different one?
My Shopify Awakened Tradesman. But you can find the link on my the Dirty Hands Reconnect project on Facebook.
Let's talk about that for a second. The Dirty Hands Reconnect on Facebook. Yeah. So it's a closed group. How do people join in, and what's going on in there? Are you jumping in regularly? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, so that's where I drop all my podcasts every week, so that there's a place there you can find them. And again, it's just me doing some. I haven't done a live for a bit, and I do got to do them, but it's just stuff that I'm doing throughout the day or my week that is relating to this topic. One of the posts the other day, someone sent it to me to my group. Yeah, there was a shooting. A guy ended his life in Edmonton, right at the legislature building last week. Oof. Crazy, right? So sent me that, like, most likely, we don't know the facts of it, whether he was in the trades or oil field or whatever, but because of the recession and everything now, there's not a lot of work. It's getting a little better, but everyone's hurting. A lot of people are hurting pretty bad. So this dude felt, whatever his backstory was, felt that there was no no way out, and that was his way out. So it's bringing to light those types of things. And yeah, but again, it's just me. Yeah, it's me doing basically this in that group of just, these are the steps that I'm doing to get out. And we got some big things coming in May. Yeah, we'll have a launch here soon of some marketing for that stuff coming in May. So it's pretty cool shit. Can't say too much about it right now. It's in the early, middle stage right now. We're almost pulling the pin on it. So
if folks want to stay up to date on that, they should follow you on Instagram and maybe jump in your group if they feel like connecting that way. And for folks who are listening to this and maybe they are struggling with travel and being away from their families, and maybe they're hitting hard from the recession, maybe they're out of the work and they're not sure what to do with themselves. If you could give my audience one thing for these folks to do after listening to this podcast, what should they do?
I would recommend sitting down with with a piece of paper, I just started journaling, but sit down with a piece of paper and just look at the facts of your life, where you're sitting right now. Look at those facts and how does that make you feel? And why do you feel that way? And is it serving you? That's the best thing that I can suggest right now. And once you do that, you'll see what, am I working in the right direction, or are these things that I'm doing serving me? And it's crazy. So if you looked at all your areas in that light of, look at my body and look at the facts, man, I'm 30 pounds overweight. How does that make me feel? Makes me feel like shit. Why is that relevant? Because that's not me. I'm not that way. And I am going to die if I keep on this track of diabetes or something, right? A heart attack, whatever. Those are just facts. Okay, how am I going to come out of that and to produce results? It's crazy once you start looking at life that way, right? And it's just same with my business. What are the facts of my business? Well, I don't do any marketing and I'm not making any sales. Okay, how does that make me feel? I feel like a shithead right now because my family is relying on me to make bank, right? Mm-hmm. How is that relevant? Just like that, my family needs me to make money to survive. Mm-hmm. How am I going to change? And now, how am I going to change that? If you put all these things together and you just look at that, it'll give you a clear picture on what you need to do to move forward. And then you can start these other things like working. Yeah. And then working on your body being balanced in business every day. And it's just reframing that story. But yeah, looking at the facts times the feelings plus the feelings, what are the results?
Love it. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. I really appreciate you being real with folks and just kind of coming from a place of the heart and letting us know like how folks feel. And in particular, I think from a gal, knowing how guys feel. Because I think for us, we take a look at you guys and we're like, oh, they're isolated. It means they don't love us. It means they don't care about us. It means, you know, we're pieces of crap, you know, kind of thing. And then we start to look in on ourselves and think, what did we do wrong, or what, you know, why am I getting rejected kind of thing. And so just all your brutal honesty is great to hear. And I think you just are on the right track and I love it. And please keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. And going back to the females, right. And that's, if you work that way in your relationship, right. Like with the facts and the feelings, but right. If you have these conversations with your spouse, that's just the acknowledgement. It, whether something happens on the back end or not, like the shit that we're doing is next level. But just that awareness, if you just have these raw conversations with your spouse, unbelievable, right? And you can't be pissed off. Nobody can tell you that you're not feeling a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's how I feel. And if that's the case, well, then you're not with the right person anyway, so you might as well. But you won't know that until you're to this level of being raw, so yeah. Which a lot of people don't want to step into, but it's just getting that awareness that it's not a bad thing. And you have to, if you want to expand in your life, you have to have these conversations. So.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said any better.
Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausend.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.